Hello, everyone. It has been a hot second since I released an episode. Like I said in the previous episode, I was on a little bit of a hiatus, trying to take a break, refocus, refigure out what I'm doing as far as life and business. But we are back. It is April, so it is now Cesarean Awareness Month, which is very near and dear to my heart, as most of you may know, being a C-section and a VBAC mom. And today's episode is actually going to be a VBAC story. It is my friend Petra, and she had a VBAC after three C-sections, which I know many, many women ask about having VBACs after multiple C-sections. And to tell you a little bit about Petra, she is a full spectrum doula, a supporter of physiological birth, a catalyst for VBAC, a VBAC after three C-section mom, and a crusader in unveiling the business of hospital birth. We have been friends for almost 2 years now. We met virtually via a birth worker program that we were both in, and she is absolutely wonderful. So please get ready to welcome Petra. I'm your host, Hannah Gill, and this is Motherhood Flow. Hi, Petra. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. I'm so honored to be here. I love your show. I'm an avid listener and I just love everything that you do. What? It's true.
Sounded so. Going to have to be on my blooper. That's going to be at the end of the episode on my blooper. Okay, Petra, would you like to get started with telling all of your birth stories and in whatever capacity you feel comfortable doing so? For those of you that don't know, Petra had a VBAC after three C-sections, so she will go over her birth stories for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I first got pregnant, first of all, I was a teen mom. I was actually 16 years old. So I just kind of trusted that my body would know what to do. And I didn't prepare whatsoever. I mean, absolutely, our bodies know what to do. But I didn't account for the fact that I would be kind of bullied in the hospital and the medical system. So I was coerced into having a C-section, which I didn't realize at the time, but the words, your baby could die, were thrown around, and that's all I heard. So I accepted the C-section, and it was horrible. I didn't see my baby until she was wrapped up in I don't even know how many blankets, and you can only see like the circle of her face. And they brought her to me and was like, here's your baby. And I was just like, huh, weird. Are you sure? Like, I don't even, it just felt so disconnecting. Like, I didn't feel like it was my child and it was so weird. And so I was like cold and I felt so drugged up and my arms were strapped down. And it was just, I don't know, I felt like this weird, like, prisoner and like I couldn't do anything. And of course, I love my baby. Like, she was absolutely incredible. She's almost 19 now, which is weird to say. But so, yeah, it was really hard postpartum to heal from that. And let's fast forward to 10 years later, I got pregnant with my second daughter, and I had a partial placenta previa that was diagnosed at a 20-week ultrasound. And I had no idea that actually, like, a partial placenta previa. So, if you're not familiar, it's where you're placenta is partially covering the opening of your cervix. So it can be very dangerous, but I didn't realize it could move. It could actually move out of the way as your uterus stretches and grows. So I was automatically scheduled for a C-section. And I did at about 35 weeks. I had a little, like literally drops of blood, like nothing crazy, literally like a couple drops. And I let my provider know, and she's like, oh my gosh, we got to schedule you for a C-section like ASAP. So 36 weeks, I was scheduled for a C-section because I didn't research, I didn't know any better, and had my second C-section, my baby at 36 weeks. And it was horrible. It was the same thing, so cold and just so much disconnection from my baby. And I didn't feel a part of the process at all. It just felt like everything was done to me. They were talking about their weekend plans while they're, doing this surgery on me. And I don't know. I just felt like, I don't know, like it wasn't my body. I couldn't make any decisions over what was happening to me. And because that's what they said was best for me at that time.
That was such an early C-section, too.
Yeah. And I didn't realize it, how early it was. I just thought, well, the doctor must know this is the safest option. But when I was planning my VBAC, I actually went back and got my medical records, and they did an ultrasound that day of my C-section, and my placenta was nowhere in the way of my cervix, but they never told me that.
They never even told you, like you said, you didn't know it could move, and they never counseled you on that.
No, and it's because the specific hospital that doctor could attend, they had, what's called a VBAC ban, so they didn't allow VBACs. I know, it's so ridiculous. So I had actually told her I wanted a VBAC, but she was like, "Oh, absolutely not. Like, we don't do that here." And so I don't know. There was just so many situations and conversations that we had where I felt so defeated, and I was just like, "I guess this is my only option."
What year was that? What year was that C-section done?
The second C-section was 2015.
See, that's not even that long ago. I was thinking like maybe it was after like all the VBACs in the 90s and the people were being induced and all of
Right.
that. So I would understand the fear there of people doing VBACs, but that wasn't that long ago. So that's
No. I know. Wild. Absolutely wild. So, the recovery was rough from there too. Since she was premature, we had a horrible breastfeeding journey. It was really hard. And I did end up just kind of thrown in the towel like a couple weeks after because it was just so hard healing from a C-section, trying to breastfeed. So, fast forward again, 4 years later, we decided to have another baby. And I didn't realize that I could have a VBAC because everyone kept saying, once a C-section, always a C-section, especially after two. Like, it's so dangerous. My doctor, I remember, told me, like, there's an 80% chance of my uterus rupturing. And yeah, I know. I was like, I didn't think about it at the time. Like, where did you get that information?
Right. Where did that stat come from?
Yeah. So I scheduled a C-section at 39 weeks. And, I did prepare for that one more. I had like more of a what you would call gentle cesarean. So I had like a clear drape and like there was music playing. And I asked them not to talk about like their weekend plans and, just let me know what was going on, reassure me the whole time. So I did ask for skin to skin immediately too, but they didn't honor it after all. But still, there was that disconnect. I was like, I felt broken. I was
Right.
like, what is wrong with my body? Like, I can't give birth the way my body was made to. So it was just so, even though it was the best C-section recovery I had out of all of them because I did plan and prepare for it, it still sucked. Like, our breastfeeding journey was better because I did hire a lactation consultant before I had her because I knew it could be hard. So we did end up breastfeeding for over a year.
Okay.
But it was still really rough. It was a rough
Yeah.
start.
Did you, for any of those births, did you take any like childbirth education classes? Did you have a doula at all? Or what all did you do to per I know you said the first one, you were very, very young, so you pr maybe probably didn't do that. But for any of those, did you do anything specifically like to prepare ahead of time?
No, I mean, the only thing that I did was looked up gentle cesarean for my third. But besides that, I had just always heard like the once a C-section, always a C-section. So that kept playing in my head. And then also because I didn't realize I could switch providers, I was like, well, they won't do it, and they know better than I do. And a lot of my family's from like, they're in the medical profession. And so I had that in my ear too, of like, just listen to your doctor. Your doctor knows best. And it's like, okay. So now comes where I finally like stood up for myself. So my husband and I decided we wanted to have another baby and there was going to be a 2 year gap in between them. So I told my husband, you know what? I don't want to have another surgery. Like, this is a major abdominal surgery. And he was never able to take off more than like a week from work. So I was doing it all alone, and healing from a major surgery, which is so hard in itself, but to have to take care of multiple kids and a newborn, So I told him, I'm having a VBAC. I don't care what the doctors say. I'm doing all the education. I'm educating myself. I'm learning my rights. And so I did. And I just started out planning my preparation before I even found out I was pregnant. You know, I started with nutrition and started really focusing on movement. Moving my body and nutrition was key for me to start because I really wanted to have my body like in the best possible shape to prepare, because I had also heard people say about like heavier people or can't have VBACs, which I know now is totally not true. But you hear all these things, you know, that people just spit into your ear, and unless you dive into it, you don't know. So I did that. I did, once we did, we got pregnant really fast. And so I took two birth education courses. One was HypnoBabies, and the other one was like a VBAC specific course, but it wasn't really that much different than like a regular birth education course. So I don't know. For me, it didn't really help for VBAC specific. And in to me, I feel like you definitely need VBAC specific things to do, like
I
healing from
agree.
previous birth trauma. I definitely had researched into that, like how to prepare. So I did. I was healing my previous birth trauma, which I didn't even realize I had until I started actually thinking about my previous births and how I was treated, how I was talked to. So that was just one of the aspects. I did fear release because, of course, there's so much fear surrounding VBAC, and especially after multiple cesareans. So I definitely, like, I wrote down all my fears and I actually wrote them on a piece of paper, said them out loud, and then I actually burned them. And then, you know, I actually thought about like those worst case scenarios from those fears, like, okay, if I did rupture, what could happen? Okay. And then I just looked at both sides of it. Like, what would I do either way? You know, if it the worst thing happened, how would I combat that? And I did that with every single fear that I had. And I was like, this is not bad. This is not as bad as I thought it could be. There's a solution to everything. There's a different way we can pivot if need be. So I was still with the same provider at the time. So I knew they were not VBAC supportive. I actually mentioned it to them and they were like, oh my gosh, like that's horrible. Like your baby can die, you can die. And I was like, I'm doing my research. I understand the risks and I'm doing it. So I'm going to switch providers. And they were like, well, you can do what you want. And I was like, well, I know. Thank you. So I did switch providers and I switched to Kaiser. And where I am, it's Kaiser Modesto, California. And I knew they were VBAC supportive after two C-sections. So I was like, well, I've only had one more than that. So they should be supportive, right? So I switched by the time like the whole switching process happened, I was like in the 32nd week of pregnancy or something like that. So I went to my first appointment, told them my plan, and they were like, oh no, this is no, we don't recommend this. Like, we're going to schedule your repeat C-section. And I was like, you can schedule it all you want, but I'm not going to show up. And so they were like, well, okay, I guess we won't schedule it then. And every single appointment after that was, I gosh, I don't even know. I saw a different provider every single time. I saw like nurse practitioners. I saw a maternal fetal medicine doctor for high risk women and just everybody. I saw everybody. It was like, I think when we came down to it was like nine providers I saw,
Oh my
and
gosh.
it was wild. And so I hired a doula because, you know, that's what I read would help or could help. And she was incredible. Like, she had never supported a VBAC client before, but I felt confident enough in myself in how I was preparing that I'd be absolutely fine. And I just wanted that extra emotional and physical support during labor. Also, because we have multiple kids, I wanted to make sure that my husband could focus on the kids and I would still be focused on no matter what. So it was incredible. Like, I'm gonna hit the labor part because that is like my favorite. I was so excited to go into labor. Like, as we got closer to my due date, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to go into labor. I would wake up every day like, this might be, but it was like 39 weeks and 5 days, I think. And I started getting contractions and I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is happening. My body's doing it. And I labored into the night off and on. It was like not consistent at all. I was like, oh, I better try to fall asleep. fell asleep, and then it was morning time. I was like, what? They stopped. So I went through that for 3 more days. I had prodromal labor. And so that started on a Friday, and I had a doctor's appointment for my 40-week appointment that Monday. So I was laboring all through the weekend, and I went in, and she's like, well, I could perform like a cervical sweep if you want, because you're like, because she did check me, and I was like 2 centimeters. And I was like, so exhausted. Originally, I didn't want anything like that, but I was like, let's get this going because I'm so uncomfortable and I just want to get going. And so she did do the sweep, the membrane sweep, which after she did it, oh my gosh, my labor was so intense. Like it started, it and it didn't stop. I had contractions consistently every like 7 to 10 minutes. And so after the appointment, we went home and I decided, you know, we were going to labor at home as long as possible until we left for the hospital. Originally, I wanted a home birth, but I called all the midwives in my area and they were like, no, we can't. Like, that's risking our license. We can get in big trouble. And, you know, I wasn't very comfortable with having a free birth. And my doula absolutely said she could not attend like a free birth. So, you know, I just was like, okay, we'll labor at home as long as possible and then head to the hospital. And so we labored at home and it was beautiful. We were spending time with family. I ate a big, nutritious meal because I knew I might not be hungry later in labor. And it was perfect. Like, my mom ended up coming over, which wasn't planned at all. She came over, my brother came over, my sister came over. It was like a party. Like, everybody came over. It was perfect. They were like feeding me and giving me drinks. And my doula ended up coming over when I needed, like, I literally needed hip squeezes for every single contraction because I had like crazy back labor. And it was weird. Like the labor actually like radiated through my thighs, which I was not expecting. I had never heard of that until I experienced it. And I was like, this is crazy. I need something every single contraction. But it did help. Those hip squeezes, oh my gosh. So we just went through the day and it was like 5 o'clock at night, I think. And my labor started at 9 a.m. So this was 9 until like 5. And then I sat on the toilet. And then all of a sudden, I started shaking. I was like uncontrollably shaking. And I was like, my doula, I said to my doula, am I cold? I don't feel cold. Is it cold in here? And she was like, you're hitting transition. Like, it's okay. Just give into it. And then it was like, once she said that, it was like a trigger to my brain. And I just like instantly like felt the tension release from my body. Cause I was like not understanding what was happening. And so once I did like just relax and let it happen, then it was fine. It didn't feel as like, it didn't feel horrible or weird. I was just like, okay, my body's in labor going through transition. And then after that, though, I could hear like, maybe we should go to the hospital. Like, is it time for us to leave? And I heard that and I was like, no, because like I secretly did want a home birth, you know, like what just happened? But no, we ended up leaving for the hospital like 30 minutes later. And so I think we got to the hospital, it was like 6 or 6:30, somewhere in that at night. And we got into triage, and of course, you know, where they want to do all the checks on you and blah, blah, blah. Which, you know, at that moment, I was flowing through labor so amazingly. Like, the contractions were bearable. Like, I was laughing and talking between contractions. Like, it was incredible. Honestly, the HypnoBabies, I feel like, was so incredibly helpful. Like, that really helped me, like, just zone into what I was doing. So I got checked, and when they did check me, I was like, I can't remember what the doctor said at 9 or 10 centimeters. And I was like, when I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, this
You
is
were there.
incredible. Yeah. But I didn't realize he was like a student or a resident. And so there was another doctor that came in behind him and was like, well, I got to check and make sure because he's like a student. So we, and I was like, what? Like, if I would have known that, I wouldn't have even let him check me because I don't want to be checked again. And I didn't realize at that time I could literally say no and be like, no more, you know? But he was like super, he was kind of pushy about it. And so I was like, okay, whatever, just do it quick. And then so he did the check and he was like, oh, I'd say you're more like 8, 8 and a half. And I was like, oh my gosh. You're so ridiculous with your half centimeter, whatever. And then I did have like a bulging bag, and he's like, "Oh, I could break it right now." And I was like, no, it's okay. Like, just leave it." And then he goes, "Oh, your baby has a small head." And I was just like, "Oh my gosh, get your hand out of me. Like, what are you doing?" Like, oh, so that kind of messed up my flow a little bit. But then when we did get into the room, I had an amazing nurse that was assigned to me for my whole birth. And she was just like, "Whatever you want to do, like, let's do it." And everybody was so like supportive. I was expecting to put up a fight because of all, everybody that I'd talked to in my appointments were like, no, we don't do that. And so since everybody was so supportive, I felt like I could relax because they were like, "Let's have a baby. Let's do this. You're doing this." And I was like, "Oh, yeah." So I was laboring in the room and I did get like the saline lock. So I didn't actually have any fluids going through me, but I just had the lock. And then I was being monitored. So, I was kind of restricted to around the bed moving. But I mostly wanted to be in hands and knees anyways. So, it was fine on the bed. And then, I don't know, we were just flowing through labor once we got settled in the room. And it was like, I don't know, 8:30, nine, almost 9 o'clock at night. And I was like, I feel like I cannot get comfortable. I felt like I was climbing the walls for a second. I was like, okay, something needs to happen. And all of a sudden, I was like, I need to go to the bathroom. I think I need to poop. And they're like, I if you gotta poop. And they were like, "Can I check?" And I was like, "Sure." And so I flipped over and she didn't even like put her hand inside me or anything. She was like, "Oh yeah, you're having a baby right now." And I was like, "Oh, thank God." And so I did want to stay in like the all fours position or a squatting position, but they couldn't find a squat bar. I was so annoyed. I was like, "Oh my gosh." So, tip to anybody, like if you feel like you want to even try a squat position on the bed or if you're having an epidural, ask for that squat bar like before you even want it because not all hospitals have them for every single bed. It's crazy. So anyways, I was in like a semi sitting position, like a throne position. There you go. And they have these weird handles on the side of the bed. You feel like you're in a roller coaster ride or something. So I was like holding on to these handles to like help brace myself to push. And I pushed like 5 times and then he like flew out. Like we almost didn't catch him because he was all like bloody and slippery and slimy too. I was like, oh my gosh. And so, like, they're like, "Oh my God, put your hands down there. Like, your baby's right there." And so I grabbed him and pulled him up. And it was just like, oh my gosh. I was just so overwhelmed with emotion. I was like crying. I was laughing. I was like, oh my God, I did it. Like, I seriously did it. And everybody was like clapping. And they were just like, oh my gosh, you did so good. And I was just in bliss land after that. I didn't know about what anything was happening around me. I was just so, that oxytocin dump you get after birth is real. And my plan was to just go unmedicated the whole time because in case I felt something weird, like my uterus possibly, something weird with that, I wanted to be able to feel it and be able to tell them if something didn't feel right. And so I never even thought about like medication at all the entire time because it just felt so like manageable and I felt like I could do it for another 12 hours. Like it didn't feel like I thought it might at all. So yeah, it was incredible. So I was able to like I didn't need anything since I didn't have fluids. They said, "Oh yeah, you can leave in like 24 hours and as long as all your tests are good and everything." So it was like so blissful there. Even though it's annoying to be in the hospital because of all the beeping, all the people coming every 5 seconds, I was in this like high. It is like the craziest high you ever feel without being on actual drugs. Like,
It's true.
yeah. So it was perfect. And like he latched right away. And to be honest, he's like gonna be 2 in like a month. And we're still breastfeeding. So I didn't anticipate like going this long, but here we are. So it's been awesome.
So as far because I want women to know this specifically, so many people obviously having a supportive provider is going to be like your best chance at like having a VBAC, but You clearly did that after three C-sections without a supportive provider. So, what do you think like your best advice to women would be if they don't have a supportive provider? If you are preparing for a VBAC, I have put together a free guide to help you in your preparation. It's called Preparing for a VBAC: Your First Three Steps to an Empowered Birth Experience. This guide will walk you through the first three steps that you need to make on your VBAC preparation journey, and it'll make the whole process a lot easier and more straightforward for you. So if you want to grab that guide, go to thehannahgill.com/first steps. Again, that is thehannahgill.com/first steps.
Yeah, so it was really hard. I'm not gonna lie and say it was easy because I would leave my appointments sometimes, almost every time, crying and wondering if I was doing the right thing because everyone kept saying I wasn't. So, the best advice I would say is do your research, know the actual numbers, the risks, and decide whether you're okay with that. And learn how to advocate for yourself. Learn your rights because we have more rights than we realize. Like, ultimately, this is your baby. This is your body. Nobody can force you to do anything that you don't want to do. So, yeah, do what feels right to you.
And I feel like that's such a big thing. It's especially for like I'm a people pleaser too. You don't want to have confrontation. You don't want to fight with people. You don't want to stand up for yourself. And this is the time in life where like more than anything, we should be. It's like it's our birth experience and our baby's birth experience. So knowing that you can say no and it's okay, like fight with people if you need to, like stand up for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I tell people too, I'm a recovering people pleaser. I hate when people are mad at me. I hate when people like don't like me. And that was really hard to overcome because like I said before, I have a lot of family in the medical field, so we've always been taught like you listen to authority figures. You listen to your doctor. And so that was a hard hurdle to get over, but with that, you really have to look into yourself and do that inner work because even if it's like, it's not just for your birth, it's for your life after that too. Because once your baby is born, you still have to be an advocate for them. So not only yourself, but your baby to make sure that your baby has, autonomy because so many people just treat babies like whatever we say is right. But, I don't know. So it's important not just for your birth, but for after.
So what would you say are like your like top two or three tips for women just wanting to have a VBAC in general, but especially a VBAC after multiple cesareans?
Yeah, so birth processing, that to me is like number one. If you don't go back and think about your birth, and I know it can be hard because it was really hard for me because I experienced very traumatic things. And even though from the outside it might not have looked traumatic to others, it was very traumatic to me. And so revisiting that was hard. I cried a lot. But, if you don't do that, then when you're in labor, those same like fears or situations could pop up in your mind and it could, slow your labor down or possibly even help you go back into that C-section room because you're so stuck on that. So birth processing, number one. And then like number two, that fear release, whatever fear you're holding on to, release it. Go through that fear. Really think about what could happen. Like even the fear of like tearing. Every mom almost that I talk to when they're thinking about giving birth vaginally is they're so scared to tear, which I get it. I was there too. Like I was like, I don't want to tear. I don't want to be different down there. But, literally go and look up, what a tear could be like, how what it takes to repair a tear, how long it could take to heal from a tear. And then, come back to that and be like, okay, well, maybe it's not as bad, as I thought it was. So go through every single one of those fears. And like me, I did tear. I had a second degree tear. And honestly, I would take a tear any day over having another C-section. It was not bad at all. Like the healing was beautiful. So, and I was able to walk immediately. So it was perfect. So, I mean, those are literally the top two things I would say. Third, and sometimes this feels like the most important thing, talk to your partner. Like if you have a partner, talk to them about it. Because I know I hear also, like, my partner's not on board with me having a VBAC, or they think that it's dumb because we can schedule a C-section and we don't know when labor's going to come if I go have a VBAC, which I get it. They don't understand completely what we're thinking. So talk to your partner about what you're feeling, what you're thinking going forward with having a VBAC, what that could look like, how you want them to support you during this. Because if you don't talk about it, you know, I do this too. I'm so guilty of this, but I just assume they know what I'm thinking. But it's so far from the truth. Like, we gotta just tell them, just
Yeah.
tell them. So those are the top three things. Like, process your birth experience, number one, fear release, number two, talk to your partner. So those are the top three, I would say.
I love the tip to talk to your partner because we're in it. It's our birth, it's our experience. So we are doing this research and stuff, and usually your partner's not like they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And they don't have the motivation behind it that you do. It's complete, you're a completely different person. So I completely agree, like talking with them about it. And even if they're not necessarily supportive about it, just letting them know, like, this is my motivation behind it. This is my why. This is what I'm gonna do. I would love you to support me in this way. And I know, like, one of the big reasons I've heard from people too about why they choose to have a repeat C-section is because lack of partner support. Like, forget like lack of provider support, like having someone in your family, whether that be your partner or a family member, not supporting you is, I think, so much harder because that's your personal life at home. Like, that's not your doctor. This is like at home affecting you on a daily basis. So that is a huge struggle. So I think especially talking to them way ahead of time. Like, if you're even thinking about having a VBAC or a certain type of birth, like, talk to them before you're even pregnant and try to get them to understand and educate them too, the way you're educating yourself on everything that could potentially happen, like you're saying.
Absolutely.
And then another thing I kind of wanted to comment on about what you said about like being able, not knowing when labor is going to happen with a VBAC and being able to schedule a C-section, because I hear this a lot. And it's one of the main objections people say about, like, oh, I can just, be induced, like schedule that induction or schedule my C-section. But I don't think people like fully like think about that process, because even if you have a scheduled C-section, say at 38, 39 weeks, whatever, you could go into preterm labor at like 35, 34 weeks or whatever. And then the whole point of like scheduling to like control the schedule is like irrelevant because things can happen. Like, it's so unpredictable. So even with a scheduled C-section, like, things can happen, and you could still end up having a C-section at that point, but it's going to be 4 weeks earlier than you planned. So much for having a schedule. Like, people don't think about that.
And I mean, seriously, your body can literally go into labor at any time. Like, we never know. So you can't really plan birth unless you, I mean, I don't know. None of us have a crystal ball, so really we can't.
Yeah, there's no way to plan it. Like, and I know, especially for women going for a VBAC, and why they may choose a repeat C-section is like they want that sense of control. Like, they want that sense of, like, okay, I know when I'm gonna have my baby. I know I have control over this, because a VBAC is so like unknown and we don't know what's gonna happen. But it's really like an illusion of control with scheduling a C-section, because you still don't know what's gonna happen. You can have the same sense of control over like making the decisions for your VBAC. Like you said, like, for your experience, you had the control because you just said, no, like, I'm having this VBAC. I don't care what you say. So you can still have that sense of control with a VBAC versus having to schedule a repeat C-section.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's important to touch on too, because none of us know what is going to happen in our birth. Like, there's so many unknowns, but you have to really dig inside of yourself to try to be okay with that. Feel okay with not knowing what's going to happen. To me, that was exciting. Like, I was so excited, like, ooh, maybe today's the day, or I don't know. We don't get that really with much in this world. So to me, oh, I don't know, that's so exciting. And being able to just say no to like people's face and be like, no, this is my body, like it's my baby. That was so empowering to me too. Like, oh my gosh. And then doing like having my VBAC in the hospital, and literally like after I had my VBAC, nurses were bringing other nurses in and were like, this is a girl that had a VBAC after three C-sections. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like I felt like, I don't know, like a superstar or something. It was so awesome.
And I f that's so funny you said that, because like for my birth too, like people were just, the hospital I birthed at, like they must not see a lot of unmedicated birth, like let alone like a VBAC, but they were like shocked that like I gave birth unmedicated. And I'm like, you guys don't see this every day, like that's so weird that that's such a foreign thing. But yeah, like having people that are just like so amazed with you, like especially a VBAC after three C-sections, like that is a rare occurrence in a hospital especially. So I think that like you were a superstar. You are a superstar.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, thank you.
Yeah, so where can people find you, like online, like your website, like what are you offering right now? Because if you don't know, Petra is a doula. So where can people find you if they want to connect with you and hear more about your story and your journey?
Yeah, so in person, I do take birth clients. I do birth education. So I am in Modesto, California. My website is www.birthingcometrue.com. And my name is Birthing Come True almost on everything because my birth came true, like my dream birth came true. So it's kind of a play on that. On Instagram, it's at Birthing Come True. And I actually have a podcast too. It's called the VBAC Junkie Podcast, which Hannah is going to be a guest on, just saying. So, yeah, you can find me on any of those outlets. And I actually am going to create like a VBAC education course, like birth education course for parents. So, I'm really excited about that because obviously VBAC is like super near and dear to my heart. And I want to help women in a way that feels good to them. So, this is, I don't know, I'm just so like incredibly excited about 2024 because it's going to be amazing.
It is like we've both manifested. Like we're manifesting
Yes.
our 2024 as we've had
Yes.
this
Manifesting
conversation.
queens right here.
Yes, I completely agree. Okay, so that's where you can find Petra online. Thank you again, Petra, for being here. I'm so excited to have you on and for everyone to be able to hear your amazing story.
Thank you. And thank you for having me. It only took us like, I don't know, 3 months to schedule this.
Seriously.
All
Working
right.
mom doula life.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thank you, Hannah.
Thank you. You just finished another episode of Motherhood Flow. For more, head over to thehannahgill.com or on Instagram at thehannahgill. As a reminder, this podcast is provided to you for educational and entertainment purposes only. It should not be considered a substitute for medical advice. Until next time, keep flowing.